Well, verse 9. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron even unto Gath, and the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. And his return was to Ramah, and there was his house, and there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar unto the Lord. What I like about Samuel, and there's a lot of things to like about Samuel, is that Samuel is one of these people that you find doing the right thing, having the right motive, while being surrounded by people who are just not, right? I'm sure we've all been there. Well, hey, guys, this is what we normally do in this situation. What are you guys doing, right? I would sit there. I came into work. We would come in, and some of the older guys would sit down. They'd have a cup of coffee. They'd go over the work orders for the day, and then we would go out, and we were supposed to pick trash or shovel snow, whatever we had to do that morning. And I was sitting there, and 8 o'clock's when we showed up. 9 o'clock rolled around, and they're still sitting there. Well, guys, what are we doing? We've got stuff to do. Well, we're getting things organized. Whether it was only 10 work orders and you've been here for an hour, we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. So I like people that are doing what they know they're supposed to be doing, especially during a time when it's not very popular. People seem to have lost their minds on things. Today, it is very easy for us to see a world where a lot of our Baptist-type people are losing their minds. They're not abiding by God the way that they should. They're not following God's commands. Compromise and just sheer insanity have taken over where logic, reason, and obedience to the Lord used to reign. Right? Samuel, during this battle, who was it that he went to? He went to the Lord. And when the Lord came in and the Lord answered and the Lord gave them the victory, what did he do? He showed his thanks. He didn't build an idol. He didn't build a god by raising this stone. It was a point that they could always point back to and say, hey, remember when the Lord did this. Right? It was something that they could pull. Hey, what is this stone here? Why is it called Ebenezer? And they would say, oh, well, that is to say that the Lord helped us. The Lord helped us. One of the easy things for us to forget when things get rough is that God will help his children. He will. Now, sometimes he might not help us the way that we would want. We may not get the help that we think that we should have. When I was a kid, my dad had a very particular way of doing things. And my brother and I, we were stinkers. We played on this. You guys aren't vacuuming right. What do you mean I'm not vacuuming right, Dad? Well, you're not vacuuming right. One time he took the Kirby vacuum out of my hand, and he goes, it's like this. Now watch, I'm going to do the whole living room, right? And you're going to pay attention. All right, Dad. He had to show me the whole living room 4 or 5 times before either he got fed up trying to teach me or he caught on. I can't remember which one it was. But he either gave up trying to teach me, which would be a bad look for me, or he caught on. In which case, he was like, all right, well, that's it. I'll just kick your tail if you don't do it. Let's kick your tail if you don't. But no, we ought to have a desire to do things right. We ought to have a desire to stand up and be able to point to something and say, hey, look, you see where the Lord helped us? You see where he came in during this time? You know, I always wanted Dad to, you know, if Dad wanted something done in particular, I always wanted him to do it for me. You know, nowadays, maybe that's what we want, man. We want God to step in. We want God to make it all right. And you'll hear people in their language when they talk about God, well, hey, this terrible thing happened and I woke up and it was still happening, so therefore I question God. Or, hey, I asked God for something very specific and he didn't deliver it, so therefore I question his care, his love, his existence, whatever. That's not who God is. We are forgiving of others for not always following through, not because we recognize that they failed, but because perhaps they changed their mind. Perhaps it was not something that they wanted to do. But God's got to do things just the way we want them, or he's got a problem. We got a problem with him. That's not how God works. God has his will. His will is perfect. His will is right. So when he steps in, he says, hey, listen, we've talked about this recently too, where, you know, God allows these things to toughen us up. We talked about it in Sunday school. You know, sometimes God allows the extra stress to purify us, to try us, to make us better. Right? Sometimes those trials are there because it's us that have got to clean up the mess. We've got to get the sin out of our lives. We've got to repent of some things. Those things have to be there. But no matter how God chooses to help you, you've always got to remember he's going to help you. He's going to. I think one of the best examples from my life that I've had of where God helped in a very, I don't want to use the phrase, like the problems that I had, I knew exactly what I thought God ought to do to fix them. Right? Lord, if you would just do this, and Lord, if you did this, and then this situation, Lord, if you did this, and I did that, Lord, we would be rid of this thing, and everything would be fine. Well, I was driving in my car, and, you know, I was kind of racking those things over, and I'll be honest with you, my physical batteries were running low, my spiritual batteries were running low. And I had a preacher on, I was listening to an old recording of a preacher, and the sermon was very simple. The sermon didn't speak to my sin. It didn't speak to my physical needs. It didn't speak to what I was missing. It didn't speak to what I hoped for the future. Very simply, the preacher was preaching about how every young preacher and every old preacher and every preacher ought to only ever preach Christ. And I'll tell you what, in that 45 minutes, God did a renewing in my heart. And spiritually, I got out of that. Like where I was supposed to go, I stayed in the car to finish the sermon. You ever do that? Right? Maybe to finish a song, or maybe if you're listening to something, like, I'm just going to wait. I'm going to hang out here. I got another 5 minutes. I'm going to hang out here. I'm going to catch the rest of this before I go in. And I did. I sat there. I heard the rest of that sermon. And I'll tell you what, none of the things that I wanted God to do did he do before I got out of the car. And none of the things that I thought would fix everything I was going through was accomplished by the time I got out of that car. You know what was different by the time I got out of that car? Me. My mindset, my heart. He didn't do any of the things I thought he needed to do. I got up, got out of that thing, went about my life, started handling business a little bit tighter, a little bit better. Why? Because just the encouragement. Well, how do you get that out of a sermon about preaching Christ? I don't know how he did it, but he did it. I don't know how that sermon did it, but it did it. Woke me up, caused revival where there was fatigue, right? Where I was tired and I was wore out and, you know, I was sitting there, I was grinding over the same old problems. How do I do this? And Lord, I know this is what you want from me, but how do I get there? All this little stomping around I do in my head. That one sermon helped me. Not exactly what I thought would happen, but not exactly what I thought would help. But it is what helped. God always helps. What about the times when he comes through exactly the way you would expect him to? They prayed that God would help them with the Philistines. And what did he do? Thundered against them, smote them down, terrified them right there. Right? He handled the majority of the fighting for them on this, right? They chased after what God already put to run. He helped them directly. Maybe you've got stories like that. Oh, I bet you do. Where exactly the thing you needed, God gave. Exactly the thing that you required, God gave. When I was down to Cincinnati, I just moved down to Cincinnati. I'd moved stuff into the dorm room there for the college, and got everything all set and situated, and locked my keys in the car. Now, don't worry, Mom and Dad had another set, but they had already gone home. And I'm sitting there, and I'm talking to my new roommate, and he goes, "Hey, could you give me a ride up over here?" He didn't have a car. And I said, "Man, I would love to, but I locked my keys in the car." So we're down there looking at it, and the pastor of that church comes up, because the church, the dorm was attached to the church. He comes up, he goes, "What are you two doing?" I'm like, I didn't want to meet him this way. I didn't want to embarrass myself right off the bat. Explain to him what happened. He goes, "Oh, okay." He goes back to the back of his truck, pulls out a Slim Jim, boom, unlocks the door, puts the Slim Jim away, and gets in his truck. He says, "Well, I'll talk to you guys later. I got to go somewhere." And he takes off. There it is. Money that's there when you got a bill that you weren't expecting. A friend that calls when you're having a rough day, but nobody knows you're having a rough day. God finds a way to directly answer. And I'll tell you this, I love it when we end up at the hospital for things and then we're discharged and the doctors ain't got no, can't figure out what's wrong, and that problem doesn't come back anymore. You know, we were talking, you know, Sister Bonnie, she's not feeling very well right now. They're thinking maybe some ulcerative problem she's got right now. I said, "Well, I used to have that. You know what I remembered as I was coming up here, brother? I used to have that." We were married for, a couple weeks. My wife finds me near passed out, almost bled to death, you know? Not a great way to start a marriage. You know, I'm not really good at starting stuff. Really not. I'll let you know exactly who I am right off the bat, I guess. But no, you know, it was a big, serious problem for me for a very long time. I haven't thought about it since... I haven't thought about it till we just had that conversation. God steps in and he helps. We can't get into this position where we think that just because God hasn't come in the way that we wanted, nor that God, nor that we can see what God is doing, nor because the answer seems to be delayed, that he's not going to help. This battle with the Philistines, this issue that they had was going on for some time. I mean, Samson, for all of his dealings with the Philistines, never actually lived long enough to see this. Also, what must we do? We must realize that no matter what, God will help. But there are some qualifiers. There are some things to consider. Verse 9, "And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him." If we want God to help, we've got to make sure that the mission is right. We've got to make sure that the mission is right. God is not a lucky rabbit's foot. He is not your good luck charm. Right? I've seen people do that before, and I don't think that it's all that bad, but it's not something I like to do, where you'll see two Christian baseball teams going against each other, both of them in the locker room. "Lord, please give us the victory today." Can I tell you this? God probably does not care. Unless he is trying to accomplish something, God does not care. You know, he might, all right, well, I tell you what, these guys, maybe he might. But of the whole world of things in the balance, "Well, God didn't give us the victory." What does that mean? Are you out of your mind? "God didn't care about my baseball game." God is not your dad. God is not your uncle who promised to come and he didn't. It is a baseball game. Get your priorities right. Right? "Well, I went to the casino, and before I go to the casino, I always pray." Why? You know, you're sitting there and you're doing the things you're not supposed to do. Well, there I was. We were drag racing down the street, and I lost control of the car and I started to pray. You started praying too late. Should have prayed before you showed up. "Lord, give me some wisdom. Lord, give me some sense." But he's not a lucky rabbit's foot. There are things that we will put ourselves through that we've got to acknowledge are fun, but not big on the scale of things. You know what I mean? You know why? I prayed that God would give my parents the ability to do this so we could go on a very good vacation, and we didn't go on a very good vacation. I'm sorry, God didn't work all that well as a lucky rabbit's foot, but he never promised that he would be. Right? So there are some small-scale things we got to recognize. God might not answer you because, let's be honest, it's a very small thing you're asking for. Not that God, if we've got something serious and it's small, God wouldn't. Let's just be honest, it's just not, it just might not be important. Right? It just might not be important, the ball games and the who's going to win this and help me find my bookmark and small stuff. We need to realize they're just creature comforts we're trying to establish. And while God can, don't be surprised if he doesn't. Now, God is also not what we would call perpetually on our side, right? We get into that debate. Well, was God on the north side or the south side of the Civil War? And to me, the answer is very simple. God didn't have to pick a side. There was a lot of sin going on there. A lot of sin going on there, and ain't none of those sides did right by God all the way. I like to study history, and the more you study on both sides, the more you realize we should be glad and thankful to God our nation even survived for the things that we were openly doing on each side of that war. So what side was God on? God was on God's side. We were throwing a fit. Right? What about this? Is God on my side or my employer's side? Is God on my side or my fellow church member's side? God don't work like that. You can be on his side, but he's never going to compromise to join yours. So he's on your side when you stand righteously. He's on your side when you're standing in the light, as we just talked about earlier. When we're in the light, we're on his side. When we tiptoe into the dark, we've left his side, but he ain't going to leave the light to come to the dark to join yours, right? You get that a lot, especially in counseling things or in church battles. Well, what side is God on when it comes down to this split? Neither. If there's an issue right that where the church is at each other's throats, there's some things that they're doing sinfully. There's an appropriate way to handle conflict, and you're not doing it if you've gotten to that part. Both sides need to get on God's side, and you will find peace. Right? Sometimes we're waiting for God. We're waiting to see and try to prove whose side God's on, when what we need to do is make sure that we never left God's side to begin with. That's what we need to do. We see here, what did Samuel do? He took this lamb and he gave this sacrifice. Why? Because Samuel's heart was right. So often we see that about Samuel. His heart was right. He honored God above all else. He valued God. Why was it that Eli and his sons, they failed, but Samuel, being so much younger, got to hear the voice of the Lord? Because his heart was right. When we are no longer right with the Lord, we're making a purposeful decision to not hear from him properly, to not be led by him properly, to not be helped by him properly. You know, you got little Melody there. She's getting her independence. And I'm so proud of her. Used to be, wherever I go, Daddy has to carry me. Oh, Daddy, and she'd come up and she'd give me this, and I'd go to pick her up and I'd carry her around. Now that she's got this running thing down, Daddy's small potatoes. And I value that. That's good. It's good for the maturity of a child. It's very good. But you know what Daddy's heart does? It breaks. Right? I'll go to hold her hand. No. I'll go to pick her up. No. Go to give her a hug. You know, all right. Turning 16 already, I see. That's fine. You know, it's good to see some independence in a child, but I tell you what, we ought to strive to be leaning on God. You know, spiritual maturity involves following the teachings, the example, the wisdom that God has given us. When we go about things our own way, we create a mess, right? When we're sitting there and we're acting sinfully and we're following, you know, some bad ideas or a bad temper, we're going to fall into some trouble. And how can we help the Lord if we're pushing him away? Or how can the Lord help us if we're pushing him away? Victory seldom comes when sin is on the field. Victory seldom comes. Sometimes God will let us sit there for a while until that repentance takes place. Why? Because why? If you went over to help somebody and they pushed you away, would you continue to try to help them? There'd be a particular point where you would stand back and you would say, all right, stand yourself up. And that's what God does, except he doesn't leave us. He sits there, waits for us to be ready, waits for us to have the maturity to lay that sin down so we can get back up. Very seldom does victory come when you're doing things for your own honor and for your own glory. When we're serving the Lord, when we're living our lives, it shouldn't be about what we can get out of it. Eli's sons, they were trying to get the best of whatever they wanted out of life. And I tell you what, we'll read later about Samuel's sons. They did the same. When you're doing things for your own, to just to fill your own desires and to puff yourself up, it's not going to go so well. Especially when you're doing things for the Lord. You know, I've talked before about my disdain of these guys that get out there and they no longer serve under a church, but they're the Joel Osteen Ministries, and they slap their name up on it, right? And you know more about the guy, and there's more promotion for the guy than there is the guy that saved them. That's a problem, right? We as servants of the Lord, we're not here to get our name put up or to have power and authority that's undue to us. The purpose of us preaching is to preach Christ. The purpose of our leadership is to lead others closer to Christ. It all begins and ends with the Lord, not us. At least that's the way it should be. But it is hard for us to sit there and get help from God when we take credit for the things that he's doing, right? When he blesses you, when he gives you the ability. You know, I can't vouch for the Christianity of all these sports players. I don't know, that doesn't sound very right, but these guys that play the sports out there, and they stop and they pray in the end zone, or they pray wherever. And you can see, oh yeah, I really thank the Lord for giving us this victory today. And I can't say much about their Christianity, but I do like that heart a little bit. Thank you. Thank you for giving me the air in my lungs. Thank you for preventing me from getting injured. Thank you for this. You ought to. You know? Hey, you know what? We did this thing and it turned out pretty good. I'll tell you what, this guy over here you got running it must be pretty awesome. You know what that guy ought to say? Well, if it weren't for the Lord, none of this would be possible. I'm grateful for him, grateful for his people, grateful for the work that we did together. You know, it shouldn't be about self-promotion or lifting yourself up above others, right? At the end of it, it is the Lord we lift up. Now, what else do we see here in this example of verse 9? Samuel asked. I think if we really considered how often we get into trouble and how quickly we go to the Lord, I think we'd be embarrassed. I think we'd be embarrassed by that. Oh, this happened, and what did I do? Well, what I did, the first thing I did is I got on the phone with so-and-so, and I was like, can you believe this is happening? Let me tell you why, because what do we want? Something bad is happening. We want someone to come over and, oh, they're there, right? And then what do we want? Well, we want to talk about it, make as much noise about it, get some sympathy, get some help, and maybe we'll get to work on it a little bit, and click, 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 and we'll get all things done, taken care of, and at the end, whoo, sure am glad I thought to bring the extra tire. I sure am glad I remembered to save that money aside. Sure am glad this happened. Sure glad that I thought about doing that. So we can look so amazing. But some of us have been there, where we've sat in front of an unbelievably easy task and we're unable to do it. And then we prayed. And all of a sudden, the lug nut broke loose, the envelope got found, whatever. Ask the Lord. Before you do anything, before you break out the tools, before you pick up the phone, before you call the doctor, before you do anything, ask the Lord to help you. Now, why? If God loves me, why doesn't he just help me? It's not about whether or not he's going to just help you. He might just help you. You don't know. We're talking about being polite. Talk about being polite. My dad's got this neighbor. His name is Ron. And I tell you what, Ron has made us laugh so hard over the years because Ron is just what we would call a little socially awkward. See, Ron don't call and ask my dad to come help him. He bangs on the door, "Ted, come on! I'm doing this!" You know, there's my dad. My dad's a good guy. "All right, Ron, here we go." Out he goes. "We'll help Ron." I've often thought about that. I go, "Dad, that is incredibly disrespectful, the way he just kind of expects you." He goes, "Well, you know, he always says thank you, and, you know, my dad's always got this, if your neighbor needs help, you help him," kind of mentality. I wouldn't do that to the Lord. That sounds a little bold to me, doesn't it? "Well, Lord, you owe it to me to help me, so I'm not even going to bother asking you." Right? Or may I even think that way, right? It's possible to not think a certain way, but still act a certain way. And that's exactly what we're saying, even though we're not even thinking it. God will catch up. He owes it to me. No, you stop and you consider him first. You let him know you're watching him. You let him know you're trusting him. Right? And it's just as well for you to know it off the crack of the bat as it is for him. Show that respect to him. Ask him. Now, he's your heavenly Father. He does know what's going on. And oftentimes I've gotten help for things I didn't even know I was going to need help for. You know, it's just the way he doesn't know yet, but I'm set in the background, right? I keep thinking about that. You know, it's come up so often where, you know, right before a major bill gets there, get an extra check from the insurance company. Isn't that weird, getting paid from the insurance company? I've never heard of that before. What broke? Well, there it is. Thank you, Lord. Got that in the mail before the problem got here. Thank you. Or sometimes the answer comes 2 or 3 days after the problem. But either way, he was already there. He was already working. Wheels were already in motion. Right? Don't doubt God that he's going to sit there and wait for you to ask him. I'm saying we got to show him some respect and ask him. "Lord, I need you. Lord, I can't see an answer without you. Even in the incredibly easy things, 1,000 things could go wrong." We used to have this rule in maintenance. We would never pull a toilet after 3 o'clock. Right? If ever we had an issue like that, never pull a toilet after 3 o'clock. Because you want to know why? That will be the toilet that keeps you there to 7 o'clock. You'll pull that thing off, realize that the stack is cracked or broken, that there's something wrong with it. You got to go get a new flange. You got to get a plumber to come in. No, you always did it early in the morning. If you could choose, you always did it right off of the bat. If I think for a second, you know, we had this one lady, she had these kids. These kids had 1,000 of those little squishy bath toys. Sea animals and ducks and all sorts of little things. We'd been in there so many times because the kid threw something down into the toilet. She'd put in the toilet's not flushing. We would run. Because we never knew how deep this thing was, how long it's going to take us to get it out. And plus, we pulled that toilet so many times, this might be the day we break it. So we absolutely want to get that done fast. Folks, we need to go to the Lord. Don't play games. Don't wait. Because so often I found myself in those positions, something I've done 100 times. And all of a sudden, there's a broken flange, a missing bolt, a cracked something or other. All of a sudden, I'm looking at a bigger problem than I've seen before. Or even so, we'll have this. My favorite way goes, you'd go to take one of those toilets off, and one of those bolts will stick. If you've ever pulled a toilet out, those bolts down there would stick. You'd have a hard time getting it off. And you'd need to be able to work that out just enough to get a sawzall or something in there to cut. I don't recommend a sawzall, but something in there to cut that bolt so you could get it back out. I always go to the Lord. Lord, help me. Give me grace in this. And Lord, if this is going to be something that eats up all my time and makes me late for dinner, I pray at least you keep my spirit during the time. Keep me in my integrity during this time. Now, what else happens? Now, after the Lord answered, he does this great thing. These Philistines, they're terrified. These Philistines are smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel, they run out and they out of Mizpah and they pursue the Philistines. And they smote them down there in Beth-Kar. What happens in verse 12? Then Samuel took a stone, set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." What happens when anybody does something good to help you? You thank them. Thank you. I think so often we really show our ingratitude by how long it takes us to go back to the Lord and say thank you. Sometimes we're even kind of careless with it. Oh, well, praise the Lord. But are you really? Is that an expression from your heart, or is that a reaction? Get down on your knees if you still can. Say thank you. Right? However it is that you pray, you get into that position, you say thank you. Oh, and not just to say thank you, but really show that gratitude. Why? Because he's worthy of it. He's worthy of our praise. Worthy of our thanks. I mean, do you not think he's done enough for you? Think of all the things he's done for you. And on top of that, he helped you find your debit card. You know, saved your soul, gave you all of heaven too, all the ways he answers your prayers and cares for you, fills your lungs with air and your belly full of food, all that God does. And oh yeah, that bill that you weren't expecting got taken care of. And oh yeah, the repair for your car didn't cost anywhere near as much as you thought it would. Oh, there was somebody in your vicinity, maybe somebody even in the church, that had an extra of the thing that you were about to break your bank account to have, and they're giving it to you. All of heaven and the little stuff too. All of heaven and the answers to your illnesses and the answers to your problems and the help in those times. Doesn't he deserve a thank you? Is he not worthy for us to lift up, stop for a second, and praise him? We don't know exactly how it ended, but while Samuel could have been out celebrating, while Samuel could have been out at a feast, while he could have sat there and said, "Let's bring up all the mighty men that fought with us and honor them," what is it that we see Samuel doing? Let's get a big old stone, and let's lay it out as a monument to what God has done for us today. He's helped us. Now you got to remember, why did they keep falling into captivity? Their disobedience. Their rudeness. My pastor tells a story. There was that guy who lived across the street. He's passed on now. He and his wife did not much care for our church. Did a lot of mean stuff. Not awful stuff, but just irritating stuff. Just to let us know that they weren't happy with us. For instance, he'd come over, he'd park right in front of, if you've ever been to Flat Rock, we've got that little bridge that goes over the ditch. He'd park his great big old van there. And then before we got a gate there, he used to park the van inside the church parking lot, leave it there for months at a time. Right? "Hey, can you come get your van? I'll get it when I can." Well, one day we had a big old storm, tree fell over on top of that thing. He came and got it. But and his wife would say the most vile things to me. I got to the point where their house was right across. So if you went to go and you were shutting the gate, or at the time we had a chain to stop people from coming and misbehaving in our parking lot. So if you were doing that, I turned the lights off for my car so it wouldn't shine in the window, because if it did, she'd come and cuss me out. She's not a very happy person. So we did everything we could to make peace without completely rolling over, right? Well, one day, pastor tells the story, he's driving that van, and it gets stuck in the snow. Him and Michael go out there, push him out of the snow. Well, why would you do that? You know, why would you show that kindness? Why would you behave in a way that don't make no kind of sense? Because you need to know something. You need to know the peace God has given my life. You need to know how it is I'm supposed to live. You need to know. My God is worthy. My God deserves it. Here's something I want to show you. My life's been changed. Sometimes we ourselves are that Ebenezer that we raise. When we behave differently than we've got to, that's our opportunity. Listen, God has done something mighty here. You absolutely better believe I should have had your stuff towed. You better believe I should have been inside my house, cup of cocoa in hand, laughing at you for being stuck in the snow. Every bit of my flesh wants to be in there taking a video of you fighting to get your van out. But God made a difference in me. And I ain't out here so you see me. I'm out here so you see what God can do. We need to raise those Ebenezer. Hey, look what my God can do. Look at how powerful he is. Look how great he is. Look at how he can change a life. I think it's important for us to take those times to lift up those moments of gratitude. And there's three really good reasons why. Number one, to show God that you're going to remember the goodness he's brought into your life. Lord, you helped me. You did something good. And Lord, you've never given me evil. You've never sat there and, you know, allowed me to flounder unnecessarily. You've always had a plan, and so often you've shown me that plan either in the moment or afterwards, but you've always delivered. You've always helped. I want you to know I'm going to remember this thing you're doing here. I want you to remember. I want you to know that I'm going to remember this. That when I look back at this, it's not going to be me looking back and going, oh yeah, remember that time I did this. I'm going to remember that it came from you. Lord, I'm grateful. Lord, thank you. So often we forget the trials of yesterday, and you know that's kind of a blessing in and of itself, ain't it? But what we should never forget is God's deliverance. I'm a big fan of keeping a prayer list, and I'm a big fan of marking those prayer lists as answered, and I'm an even bigger fan of going back and praising God again for something he already got the praise for. Because he deserves it. Lord, I still remember. I still remember this prayer I prayed. I remember it took you 45 seconds to get the answer to me. I remember it took you 3 months to get the answer to me. But Lord, I remember that you got the answer to me. And I remember how my life changed when you did. On top of showing him that we're going to remember this, it's important for us to show others that God has done memorable things in our lives. I see that happen. Isn't that a wonderful thing? How'd you figure that out? Oh, I didn't. Just happened. Lord blessed. I've been praying for this, and Lord blessed. You know, we'll get people, they'll see our kids do stuff. And I'll do that to other parents too, you know. You probably remember this, where you'll see kids doing stuff your kids don't. You know, people come to me, how do you get your kids to go to bed without fighting? They've always just wanted to go to bed. Praise the Lord. And I say, you know, thank you, Lord. He must have knew we weren't strong enough for that trial. You know, he took care of it. Man, your kids, that. How do you get your kids to eat without having to fight them? In all actuality, it's becoming more of a fight just to make sure that there is enough food for everybody right now. You know, they're hungry. I'm terrified of what's going to happen when they're teenagers. They've all figured out this thing called seconds, right? It's elbows and knives just to make sure. How do you get them to eat? Something the Lord did. Hey, weren't we praying for so-and-so? Yeah, we were praying for so-and-so for a long time. Well, what happened? Well, one day they just got better. Well, what did the doctor say? The doctor said they got no idea. So they just got better. Well, I don't think they just got better. I think the Lord did something there. I do. Hey, don't you understand how bad this cancer is? Don't you understand how bad this illness is? Don't you understand you're not coming back from this? And decades later, they're still there. In remission, or doing fine, or well past whatever it is. What happened? What'd you do? Was it a magic vitamin? Did you change your diet? What happened? Well, that's nothing else but the Lord could have done it. Can't think of anything else. It's important for people to know, hey, well, that's what the Lord does. You know, I used to get teased at that from work a little bit. Matt, how'd you close so many sales this week? What was your secret? I did the same thing I did last week when you were yelling at me. But the Lord blessed. You know? Now you went from struggling, like your property was struggling, and all of a sudden it did real good. You guys won the competition. Everybody got a bonus. What do you think happened there? Well, the Lord must have known I needed the bonus. And sent the fish. I don't know. Like so often I've used that illustration. You know, some days the fishnet's empty, right? Some days it's a struggle and you're fighting and it's a battle. Other days the Lord just sends them fish. And the biggest battle you've got is getting all those blessings up into the boat. I don't know. But I'll tell you who. I don't know what he was doing. I don't know how he did it. You know, the property I was at, when I'm giving this illustration, we had 3 people would come in a week looking for a new apartment, and we had 5 apartments. So I'm like, And of those 3, we were sitting there, we were declining or denying at least two of them every time. So I'm like, that's a lot of math. You know, that's not going to work out so well. What? Here it is. Must be some secret you're keeping, Matt. No, I firmly believe Lord just sent the fish. What it is, know what he's trying to do, but I sure appreciate the blessing. We need to let people know who fills our nets. We need to let people know who answers our prayers. They need to know that we're praising him and we're thanking him. Because my, what a testimony it is. What a testimony it is. While they're sitting there going, well, I don't know what to do. And I ain't got no help. I can't rely on anybody. We rely on the most powerful one in all of creation. We have that. Don't you want them to get help too? See, I can't help everybody. I can't. We'll get calls for food and we still have some in the back, but I'm not really interested in starting a food pantry right now. But, hey, can I get money? Can I get this? Can I get that? And I'll tell you what, if you sat there and you gave $5 to everybody who called looking for money, you'd be in debt really fast. The biggest thing these people need is the Lord. That's what they need. And of course, some get mad. Well, you preachers, you do that every time. I call you asking for gas money, and you just do nothing but give me the gospel. Well, silver and gold have I none, my friend. You find $5 out there, you let me know. We could all use some gas money right now. We'd all use some gas money. But I understand their frustration, but churches ain't sitting on it. But what we do have is what you need. You need to lay down that bottle. You need to stop going to the dope shop. You need to stop spending frivolously. You need to go to work. You need to handle stuff. Right? There's stuff there to help you. But 10 to 1, you can't use it because you're breaking the law. You're hiding something right now. You need to come into the light. Get some help. That's what we need. That's what these people need. So what do? Well, I praise the Lord who gives me these blessings. So they see where it comes from. Show them the source of our blessing. The third reason, so number 1 was to show him you're going to remember this. Number 2 was to show others that God has done memorable things for you. And then number 3, so you always remember what he's done. What was the purpose of the stone? Right now, if you're like me, you're sitting there looking at these stones that the children of Israel would sometimes raise and God would even command them to do from time to time. What's the purpose? Aren't these awfully close to idols? No. What was the purpose of every stone that was ever laid? No face, no hands, no body, no image. Just a big old stone sitting someplace it shouldn't be. You know the reason that was? Tell a story about something the Lord did. I liken them to our modern day tracks. Just gives us something to explain, to talk about how good the Lord is. Except it was a track you couldn't necessarily carry with you. So as you're walking by, you're leading the sheep by. What was that stone for? Well, that was a time when the Philistines had us pretty choked up, but God did these thunderings and smote them down in front of us, and he helped us. Wow, I've got some problems right now. I sure hope God's helping me. Conversation. Or as you're sitting there, you're out there, you're walking around, and you're struggling, and you can't really think. You walk by this stone, and you remember a time when God did something mighty big, and your problem all of a sudden doesn't seem so large. And if God can do something that big, surely He could take care of the thing that's going on in my life. And that's who He is. That's what He does. He handles the things for us. We need to remember the wonderful things He's done in our lives. Because there's going to come times when doubt creeps in. I don't know if God can handle a giant this big. I don't know if God's even interested in what's going on in my life. This might be too small, too medium-sized. I might not be the right kind of person He wants to help. I certainly don't deserve His help. That doubt comes in and it nags at us. You're His child. He's going to help you. He's going to. You know, I like some of the math problems we have in school right now with the kids, because I can solve them. A few more years, it's going to be beyond my depth, you know? So I'm grateful. Hey, Dad, what's this? Oh, yeah, that's this, this, that. I got you, son. And then you do this, and yep, okay, yep. I'm all over it. But there's going to come a time where Dad's going to hold off on helping. Why? Because he's looking at that, and that's a whole lot of alphabet in this mathematical problem. Right? Oh, geometry? Well, I know the shapes, right? I got that part. You know, I struggle a little bit. You know, God's not going to be like that for us. There's not going to be a problem we can bring to Him that's going to be too big. And there's no problem He's going to bring to us that's too small. Why? Because the intent is His love for us. He helps us because He loves us. He helps us because He cares for us. So don't let the doubt creep in. There ain't no point in it. Hey, we need to remember it for when the trouble comes back. We need to remember it for when those things happen. Don't you love a good tool that takes care of the job? I went out, and of course, when I was working, I wasn't able to afford a lot of tools, but I got this really cool tool. It allows me to reach up, and you know that tight spot there for the kitchen sink? You ever install a kitchen faucet? That's tight up there, so I bought this really cool tool, just this long thing. It's a longer wrench. Turn that on there. Worked real fast. I used to fight with those things for like 20, 30 minutes to get those nuts off so I could take the faucet out. I got one of those things, just whipped that right out. I felt so powerful, so cool. I was the coolest kid on the block. But the only thing is that you don't use that tool all that often. So when I would sit there and I would see a work order that would require a brand new faucet, I go, ooh, I got it, because I've got just the thing. You know, every time I get into the same kind of a problem, I ought to remember. God took care of this last time. I ought to kind of be excited to see Him take care of it this time. Don't get doubtful. Don't start to tremor. Oh, no, it's back! Well, God took care of the same kind of thing before. You better believe He's going to take care of it again. Now, sometimes it'll happen where something even bigger will come our way. Well, yeah, I know God's always helped me up to this point, but this is bigger than making the rent, or a medical problem is bigger than that, and I don't know what to do, and I'm... Stop. Quit panicking. Quit overthinking. Go to God. Because there ain't a problem that happens here on earth He can't do anything about. How many people He's raised from the dead, including Himself? What problem could you really have? Waters that have parted. Things that He has changed, droughts that have taken place, rain that has come, loaves and fish that have multiplied, cruses of oil that never emptied. I mean, come on, this is the God we serve. Armies He has defeated. What's going to happen in your life He can't take care of? He can't help you through? Sherry shared this video of Brother Titus. He sang the song called Even If, and it has been stuck in my head all week. And of course there's other people that sing it, but I like the version he used. Stuck in my head. So Lord, I know that with just the move of Your hand, You could do any of this. And a lot of the language that's used in that song comes from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Even so, it's better to obey God rather than man. Even so, I'm sticking with him. There's nothing out here that he can't do. And even if he chooses to let us take a loss every now and then, even if he doesn't choose to give us everything we want, even so, his plan is far better than the one we can concoct. Even so, whatever it is that happened had to have happened to accomplish something. So I trust in him. I trust in him. Folks, there is nothing our God won't do to help you. Sometimes we get a convoluted idea as to what our help is needed, but he knows. He knows exactly what you need and how you need to do it. I'll give you one more example. I get ideas in my head on how to fix things. And every now and then I need somebody who really knows what they're doing to come in and help. No, this is what's wrong with it, and I can't get this thing off, and I got to replace this, and this is what's wrong. And it'd be like somebody like my father-in-law come over. Well, that ain't it at all. The last one was our escape. It was making a noise when I'd go to break. I go, oh, no, it's the suspension. You just hear it just, it doesn't sound right. It's the suspension. I got to figure out how much this is going to cost. How difficult is it? He goes, all right, well, let me hear the noise. And I explained to him the noise, and I showed him the noise. He goes, it's your rotors. They're warped. No. Now, that's how dumb I am. No, I got that. No, it's this. He goes, all right, well, you're going to replace them, and the noise is still going to be there. Okay. Would you believe this? The man who's been working on cars for longer than I've been alive, probably twice, was right. Sometimes our pride gets hurt. Sometimes we don't get what we want. We lose. We lose bad sometimes. But you better believe whatever it is that God says needs to happen is what needs to happen. We trust in him. He will help you. He'll help you through it, help you to the end of it, end the thing right there. Sometimes he'll even break up problems before you even know they're there. But he's going to help you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're grateful for your watch care over us. Lord, the efforts and the gifts that you put into our lives just to help us, just to prevent us from getting hurt or pulling us through the issues and the problems. Father, sometimes our problems are so complex we can barely wrap our heads around the possibility of a solution. But Lord, we can rest assured you already know what the solutions are. We just need to trust you. We just need to seek your will. So Father, help us to every day and in every problem pause and go to you first. Seek your wisdom. Seek your guidance. And Lord, in all things, seek your help. For its name of Jesus we pray. Amen.